Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Would you go with me to John 20, verse 19 to 23? Jesus has just gone to the cross. He's been crucified. He's dead. His body is lifeless. They've laid him in the tomb. And the Bible says that 3 days have passed, and it says that early, the moment that it could be considered the third day, the Spirit comes upon him and life begins to enter every part of his body. Breath re-enters his lungs, and he was dead, but now he is alive. He appears to Mary while she's looking for him at the tomb, and he tells her, he says, I'm going to my Father, your Father. My God and your God. Now go and tell my brothers. And so we come to John 20, 19 to 23. And it says this. It was the first day of the week. So it's the same day. And that very evening, while the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you, he said to them. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so also I am sending you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. See, the resurrected Jesus appears in their midst, and he now commissions them. As the Father sent me, so this is how I am sending you. Jesus doesn't give them a new mission. We are sent to continue Jesus' mission as his followers, his representatives. As he was sent, so are we sent. Well, how was Jesus sent? Why was he sent? Why did he come to earth? Well, he came to seek and save the lost. He came to free the captives, to heal the sick, to release those living in darkness. He came to die. He came to free us from sin and death. He came to make us right with God. And while we easily recognize what he did, it's vital we understand what he was ultimately doing. Because everything Jesus did served the purpose of why he came. Everything he did served the purpose of why God sent his Son. God sent his Son to reveal the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father. See, everything Jesus did was for the purpose of revealing the Father. Everything, every miracle, every word, every action was to reveal God, our Father. And so we're going to come around this thought this morning as we gather together around his word, revealing the Father, revealing the Father. See, throughout the Gospels, Jesus, he said things like this, the Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father do. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. I do not come to do my own will, but I come to do the will of the Father. I'm about my Father's business. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. It was consistent throughout his ministry. He often would speak about him who sent me. In fact, in John 17, when Jesus was coming to the very end of his ministry on earth, he prays to his Father. His hour had come. The time for him to die had come. And he said, I have glorified you. See, Jesus had made known the Father by completing the work God gave him to do. And in verse 6, he begins to recount this life that he's lived here on earth. And it says in John 17, reading from verse 6 to 8, it says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they have accepted them. And they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I have revealed you. I've made your name manifest. I've made you visible, your character, who you are. And now they know that everything I have, it comes from you. They believe now that you sent me. This is why he came. Everything Jesus did pointed to this ultimate purpose of revealing the Father. See, in the Old Testament, right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read about the fall of man. It says in Genesis 3, reading from verses 1 to 5, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.'" See, right here, when sin entered the world, what happened? See, Satan actually comes to misrepresent God. Because it was a loving and gracious Father that instructed them not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Gareth tells our son, Micah, don't touch the pot with dinner in it, it's not because he doesn't want Micah to enjoy the meal, it's because it's hot. He doesn't want him to get burnt. It's a loving Father that says, don't touch that. Don't take part in that. Like, you better believe I'm going to discourage our daughter Alia from just picking wild berries and eating them because they're poisonous. How much more God, our Father? See, Satan, he raises doubts about the goodness of God. He implies God's lying to them, that he's withholding from them. Or God has an ulterior motive. He lies to them. Surely you won't die. Lying has been one of Satan's tactics from the very beginning. Satan's known as what? The father of lies. It is his constant effort to misrepresent God. Sometimes in different seasons, we can feel disillusioned. Anyone relate? Maybe disillusioned with where we are, the place we thought we'd be by now, maybe the battle we thought we would have won by now. See, when you're disillusioned with a false reality, it's important to understand that to be disillusioned, there has to first be an illusion. See, Satan comes to misrepresent God because he wants to create illusions in our lives so we see God for everything that he is not. The illusion in Genesis chapter 3 from the snake was this, is did God really say? And the disillusion from Adam and Eve was, well, maybe God isn't really wanting what's best for me. Maybe he isn't really good. See, still today, the enemy comes to misrepresent God in our lives. And if we have an untrue understanding of the Father in our lives, what we reveal of him will also be untrue. In fact, Satan, sometimes he's just not worried if we're wanting to reveal the Father because he knows we'll reveal an incorrect version of the Father, the incorrect character of the Father. See, the Father's not a dictator. He's not a tyrant. He isn't waiting to knock you down when you fall short or you make a mistake. He's loving, he's gracious, he's full of mercy, he's slow to anger, abounding in love. And still, the conflict, still some 2,000 years later, remains. That while Satan sought to distort the Father, Jesus came to rightly reveal him. While Satan sought to distort the Father, Jesus came to rightly reveal him. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came as a second Adam to restore back what was stolen from the first. He came and he brought the truth. See, throughout the gospel accounts, again and again, almost 70 times it's recorded, Jesus would say, "I tell you the truth. Very truly, I tell you the truth." Jesus said, "I've come to be a witness to the truth." And you may have believed the lies, you may feel confused, disillusioned, disappointed, but Jesus wants to restore truth back to you today. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the truth. He is the very revelation of God. And he is life. And it is through him that we have access to the Father through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why God sent his Son, to reveal a Father. A Son as an example of who we are to be, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. As my Father sent me, this is how I'm sending you. To do what? To reveal the Father. See, it's vital we recognize that everything Jesus asked us to do is to be done through the primary purpose of revealing the Father. But I wonder if we were to look at our lives and the Church of Jesus Christ right now, are we living this out the way Jesus demonstrated? Do we reveal the Father the way Jesus did? Because Jesus demonstrated revealing the Father. He was one with the Father. I and my Father are one. But Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. But they were one in purpose. They were one in mission. They were one in character. To see Jesus was to see the Father. Jesus was submitted to his Father. His gaze, his focus, his devotion was to his Father. He never stepped outside of his ultimate purpose to reveal and represent his Father. And as a follower of Jesus, we're to be united with him, amen? He is our great example. We're to be unified with Jesus in purpose, in mission, submitted to him, a purity within us that is devoted to him and to him alone. So we too represent and reveal the Father. See, the heart of God was to bring his rule and reign to earth as it was in heaven. When Jesus came, he brought the rule and reign of the Father to earth. Jesus demonstrated the unity of heaven and earth. He actually demonstrated it for us. The Father's rule and reign on earth as it was in heaven. He was fully submitted to his Father. Are we living fully submitted to Jesus? See, in following Jesus, we can't have opinions about things that are different to God's. It's not about what I think. It's not about what we think. It's about what God says. See, after he commissioned them in the first scripture we read in John 20, as my Father sent me, so I am sending you. It says in verse 22, it says, when he had said this, he breathed on them. He blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. What is he doing? See, just like in the very beginning, when God breathed life into Adam and life entered him and he became a living being created in the image of God, Jesus comes, resurrected Jesus comes and he breathes on them. He blows on them, receive the Holy Spirit. What's he doing? He is telling of a new creation that is now in preparation. It's now begun. Jesus, the firstborn of the dead, is marking the beginning of this new creation. Receive the Spirit of the living God. Wow, what a moment. Now, through Jesus' death and resurrection, he is within us. We're connected back to the Father through the Son. We've got direct access to the Father through his Spirit. And he tells them, if you forgive anyone their sins, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. What's he saying? I'm sending you to preach forgiveness of sins and they will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim forgiveness of sins, they remain guilty. And we know the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples, make followers, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know the great responsibility we've been given. This is what he asked us to do. But Jesus didn't just tell us what to do. He showed us how we're to do it. Jesus himself is the blueprint. Jesus is God's living and breathing word. And as followers of Jesus, we are to be his living and breathing word. It's important to know the word, but it is imperative that we live the word. It's important to know the truth, but it is more important to live the truth. the world will be affected not by what we know, but by what we live out, what we walk out. We have to walk it out. We're meant to live it out. We're to demonstrate it. His living and breathing word. See, Jesus came to reveal what he had seen and what he'd heard. Jesus didn't just know it, he revealed it. He lived it out. This is how. And we're to reveal what we have seen and what we've heard through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, am I just telling people about God, or am I revealing him through my yielded, submitted life, through my actions, through my work, through my character? Our purpose is not just to tell people who the Father is. We are to reveal him through our lives and display him to the world. We're becoming one with Jesus, connected to him. We're to abide in him. And it's as we do, as we yield to him, then we are changed. And guess what? The evidence of the Father is seen in our lives. As he purifies, as he prunes us, as we become like Jesus. See, a branch that is fruitful and bearing an abundance of good grapes tells me and everyone that looks at it that there's a really good gardener. It reveals that someone has been carefully tending to this branch. And you might not see the gardener, but you can see the evidence of his work. The work of God in you is the evidence of God to those around you. It reveals the Father. The evidence of the gardener is in the fruitful branch, but the evidence of the Father is in your fruitful life. Matthew 7, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And we want signs and wonders and miracles. We want to see the promises of God fulfilled. So do I. We need a move of God. The world needs a move of God, and God is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ask, think, or imagine. But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ask, think, or imagine according to his power that is at work where? Within you. Within us. The same power that was exerted when Christ was raised from the dead. The Spirit that came upon Jesus, that caused his eyes to open, that caused breath to re-enter his lungs, the Spirit that gives life, the Spirit that pushed back the darkness, that triumphed over death. This same power works deeply within us, and it is by that power he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask, think, or imagine. But it's within you. It works within us. I believe one of the greatest signs and wonders God wants to do in our generation is that of a transformed life. A transformed life. God's power isn't just demonstrated with people falling over backwards. God's power is demonstrated in people getting up out of the ashes and walking forward into everything that the cross has purchased for them. Perhaps that's why in Proverbs 24:16, the psalmist writes, though a righteous man falls seven times, he will get up, but the wicked will stumble into ruin. Our greatest need is for a move of a spirit. A political power can make righteous laws, but righteous laws cannot change the inside of a person. Laws touch the outside of our lives, but it's only the spirit that can change the inside. It is what is inside us that affects the world around us. And when our internal life is changed, it reworks our external reality. It reworks our external reality. I'm not advocating ignorance. I'm not. But I am highlighting the root problem to which you have been given the keys. We have been given the keys. Our greatest need is to have our sins forgiven and our lives transformed and changed by his spirit within us. Only the Spirit of God can change and restore the human heart. That's where all of life's problems flow from. The issues of life, they come from our heart. God wants to reveal himself through your transformed life, his work within you. John 20:20, the resurrected Jesus appears in their midst before commissioning them, as my Father sent me, this is how I'm sending you. Before he breathes upon them, signifying the beginning of a new creation, those born of the Spirit. Before he tells them to go and preach the good news. In John 20:20, we're going to read it again from verse 19. It was the first day of the week, and that very evening, while the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you, he said to them. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. He's just risen from the dead, and the resurrected Jesus, do you see this? The resurrected Jesus appears in their midst, and he reveals his scars. The resurrected Jesus, he was dead, and now he's alive, and he comes and bears evidence of his death, of his torture, of his pain. This is where I was wounded, but I've overcome. I was dead, but now I am alive. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And it is as powerful now as it was then. We are called to reveal the Father, not only in character and a display of a Christ-like life, but in testimony. God's power is revealed in your victory. It's revealed when you overcome. The evidence of the Father's love, his patience, his mercy, his power to make a way against all odds. And the church is to bear her resurrection scars, to give evidence. We are to bear resurrection scars, to give evidence. I was dead. This is who I was. I was wounded and broken. I was drowning in my own sin. I had no way out. I was trapped, but God, he made a way for me. Look what he's done in my life. And there's a Father in heaven, and he loves me, and he loves you. And just like he made a way for me, he's made a way for you as well. These were once wounds, but now they are scars. There are wounds in our lives that God wants to heal. Because there are resurrection scars he wants us to reveal. If you'll yield to him, if you'll submit to him. Oh, God is revealed in your scars, the unseen God on display through your changed life. Jesus' resurrection work in us reveals the Father. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, the evidence of God, his power, and his love was on full display. It was on full display. And God is revealing who he is. He's revealing the truth that God so loved the world that he sent his son to save someone like me, like you. The first person to lay hands on the resurrected Lord was Mary, delivered of 7 demons. The number 7 speaks of completion. Mary, who'd lived a tormented life, she met Jesus, and she was changed. And Mary, it's Mary that is the first to bear witness of the resurrection. Satan wants you to think you're disqualified because of your past, yet your redeemed, restored past is the very thing that qualifies you. Look at Paul. What about Peter? We are his witnesses. We're to give evidence. See, the power that came upon them at Pentecost was to enable them to be what? Witnesses. To give evidence. You are clothed with the power through the infilling of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being a witness to what you have seen, to what you have heard, what you have experienced in your life. He calls us to be witnesses. Throughout the scripture, God has had witnesses, people who see and experience him and then bear witness and represent him to the world. Representatives who reveal who he is. He's always been trying to reveal himself. You see it all throughout the scripture. He hasn't stopped. It's still his plan. And God wants to reveal himself and the truth of who he is. The truth was stolen in the garden, but Jesus came as a witness to the truth, and he came to reveal the Father in his fullness. He's this chief witness. Worship team, you guys can come and join me. Colossians 2, 9-10. It says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is a head over every ruler and authority." The entire fullness of God dwelt in Christ, and we are being filled by him. We're being filled by him. We're to be witnesses of the truth through our union with Jesus and his work in our lives. When they were looking for someone to replace Judas among the apostles, they required an eyewitness. They sought for an eyewitness, not only of his death, but his resurrection. God is raising up the eyewitnesses, ones that come to bear evidence not only of his death, but his resurrection in their life. Not I heard, not it happened, I've lived it. I've seen him. I've seen the Savior. I've seen the Redeemer. He delivered me. He delivered me. In John 17:3, Jesus prays this. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. As my Father sent me, this is how I'm sending you to reveal the Father." God is revealing himself through our lives as more and more we're united with Jesus. Here's one work, one mission. Carry on Jesus' work, revealing the Father as we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.